Welcome to The Kelly Roach Show, the place for no fluff, easy to implement, 20-minute or less business and leadership lessons to help you build a sustainable business that scales, lead with integrity, and create a lasting legacy. I'm Kelly Roach, former NFL cheerleader and Fortune 500 executive turned eight-figure entrepreneur. Let's get started. Welcome back. We are moving on to part three in this series that is designed to help you shatter your own glass ceiling and elevate into being a multi-million dollar earner. And, you know, it's so interesting because there are all different business models, all different price points, and all different profit margins. And, you know, a lot of people may be intimidated when they think about becoming a multi-million dollar earner and not realize that you don't have to run a massive organization with dozens of team members in order to get to that level. You may just need to run a really effective and high productivity, high performance team with a handful of the right people to create that level of success. So if you have a desire and a dream for more, be open and manage your own belief system around both what it's going to take and what you need to become in order to achieve it. And we've talked a little bit already about the rules of the game. We talked about the first key shift, which was who, not how. And we talked about the second key shift, which was all about you becoming the visionary. That's what we're here to talk about today, actually, is you becoming the visionary. And, you know, there are very specific traits of a visionary leader. And I'm going to walk through what those traits are. And then I want to invite you to really think about how you've been showing up in your interactions with your team, in your interactions with your clients and market. But more importantly, how are you showing up for yourself in the decisions that you're making day to day? Because it's a lot of those decisions that we make behind the scenes quietly that no one sees, no one hears, maybe even no one knows but us, that determines, are we making a decision from a place of empowerment, faith, and vision? Or are we making a decision from a place of scarcity, overwhelm, fear, right? And so remembering that when you decided to become an entrepreneur, you are the visionary, right? You don't have a boss. You don't have someone pouring into you, telling you where to go and what to do. It's kind of on you to be self-led. I always say self-led and God-inspired, right? So let's talk about the traits of a visionary leader. And oh, by the way, down below this podcast episode, there's an entire written guide that goes with these episodes where you can follow along, you can take notes, you can go through the written form of this. So you can scroll down below in the show notes and download your copy of the Shifts Guide. So number one is a visionary leader walks by faith, not by sight. And we live in a world of instant gratification. We live in a world where many only go on the known path, even though it's not the desired path, because they would rather choose an unknown that they don't love or agree with than choosing an unknown that they don't have all the answers, that they don't have clarity around. And a visionary is someone that is willing to go forward without all the answers, without all the clarity, without all the, you know, guarantees, right? And it's that deep, deep knowing that you are being called to more and that you are made for more and that there's a path and a plan for your life and that it's probably even greater than anything that you ever imagined for yourself. And that goes right into number two, which is that visionary leaders use their imagination to ideate for the future and invite others to up-level with them. They invite others to up-level with them. So much of not just being a visionary, but enacting your vision is the ability to practice enrolling others in it. And there's lots of people that have big ideas and they have brilliant perspectives and they have lots of goals and dreams, but they haven't perfected their ability to articulate them and enroll others in them. Get other people to be as committed to that vision as you are. And so it starts with unleashing your imagination, which, oh, by the way, we have that when we're young, and then it gets kind of beaten out of us. Life, you know, gets us to be quote unquote more realistic, right? So we have to revert back to that childlike dream state and imagination and belief. And then we have to be able to cultivate that for and with others. Number three, visionaries paint a compelling picture of this gorgeous future and enroll others in that journey. So you have to be able to describe and to truly cast vision with other people where they can see their dream within your dream, so that there is a motivation to become more attached to the future that you're leading them towards than they are to the safety of the present where they stand today. Number four, takes calculated risks in a precise way aimed at testing the limits and pushing beyond them. Now, this is a big one, right? Because when we are naive, we are willing to take big risks, right? When we haven't been heard and haven't experienced all the setbacks and the challenges and the hardships and all those things, we are willing to take risks because we don't or haven't yet experienced all the consequences of those risks, right? But then as we get an education from the school of hard knocks and we experience heartache and pain and suffering and setbacks, then at that point, we begin to pull back and we stop taking risks because we're, you know, basing it on the past hurts that we've had and the past situations and circumstances that have not felt so great. And to be a visionary, you have to continue to take calculated risks based on the wisdom that you have obtained, but without fear, facing your fear, having courage in the face of that fear, right? And that goes hand in hand with number five. Visionaries are willing to go first. How many times have you had a big idea and then you second guessed it, or you had a vision that you wanted to implement, or you had a program, or you had a business idea, or whatever the case, and you had that idea, but you didn't take action on it, and then someone else did, right? So this is about, how do you get yourself to a place where you're willing to go first without guarantees? Really stepping into being an innovator, a disruptor, setting a new standard, being willing to have people call you a little crazy, being willing to go against the grain, carving out your own pathway, you know, not falling in line, but instead intentionally stepping out of line to decide what you want in your business and in your life, right? And a lot of times to do that, you have to have more courage because there's no guarantee that it's going to work. And a lot of times it's not going to work. And you can't allow that to prevent you from being willing to stand in your power in the future. Number six, leads and manages themselves well. Keeps emotions in check, takes ownership and accountability, going all in for the win. So this is a huge one because I see a lot of business leaders that are not super happy with their team. They're not super happy with their clients. They're not super happy with their community, whatever the case. And they're looking at all these outside circumstances and wondering, you know, why do my results not add up? You know, you're not adding up. The results just are not reflecting the, you know, correlation between your investment into the business and the outcome that you're seeing. And, you know, many times it's our leadership. And leadership touches every single element of every single outcome and result that you have in every single area of life, right? Everything comes back to leadership, communication, relationships. Right. But a lot of times we're so fixated on sales and marketing and lead generation and launching and all of those other things that we ignore the thing that is going to have the biggest impact, which is one, working on expanding our own capacity and elevating our own identity and being able to keep our emotions in check as situations and circumstances take place, even that are outside of our desired outcome, let's just say, and being able to control our emotions so that we can communicate effectively to navigate through challenges and obstacles and hardships that are destined to come our way. So emotional control, if you looked at the correlation between a leader that is able to sustain peak performance and emotional control, there's going to be a very high correlation between someone that creates peak performance within their company and is able to achieve freedom and this person having a high level of emotional control, because there is an impact and an outcome with every single word, every single text, every single communication, every single interface that you have with clients, team, community. There's some kind of outcome. And many times for many leaders, that outcome is not the desired one. And it stems back to the way that we are showing up, the energy that we're showing up with as a leader, right? Number seven, does not let the world or what's been done before dictate their pathway, but instead reimagines what's possible. Again, I want to scream this from the rooftops for all of you that are listening today. For you to really stand out in your market and stand out in your industry, you have to be able to take an objective look at what's working and what's not working and where those gaps are so that you can stand in your power and claim that industry leadership by filling a meaningful gap that solves a problem that no one else has done well up until this point. And so that means that you can't be constantly mirroring or following what other people are doing, even I'll call it subconsciously, because I think, like, for example, I see a lot of people that run successful seven or, you know, multiple seven figure businesses. And it's not that they're following their peers or competitors. It's that they're just not challenging themselves to really objectively look at their space in their industry and go above and beyond to do something different that really solves a problem in a new and more meaningful and more powerful way. So sometimes it's just settling. It's settling for what you're comfortable with. It's settling for what you know. It's settling for what is already the expected or accepted way of doing things. And number eight is huge. Number eight is huge, which is being in it for the journey, the process, and the outcome. Why do so many people fall off the wagon and lose inspiration and lose focus and lose determination on the journey? Because they can't find joy, they can't find peace, they can't find happiness during the process or the journey. They're just so focused on the gap between where they are and where they want to be, and the fact that they're not at that outcome, that they can't find that place and that space of peace and happiness and joy in the journey and in the process. And we all know, we've all had the experience, of course, of being in the midst of or being in the space of someone that wants the outcome but doesn't want the journey or the process, and it typically doesn't end well. So we need to ask ourselves, where are we showing up in that way as leaders? Where are we not committed to fixing the journey or the process in order to get the outcome? I see this a lot with hiring and managing team. I see this a lot with sales and marketing. I see this a lot with overall the metrics and the kind of systematic approach to building the business within companies, where people want to hire and they want their team to perform, but they don't necessarily want to be a part of the process or the journey of not just effectively being hands-on in onboarding and coaching and training people, but through the process of creating the cadence that's actually going to produce predictable results. And, you know, it's so important to remember as leaders that what we put in consistently is what we get out. And so knowing that and understanding that is really, really important, right? Number 9, attracts talent, gives autonomy, and empowers others to enhance their vision, right? You can't be obsessed with little meaningless details anymore. You cannot fly off the handle or be super upset or get super frustrated, even if you don't say anything to the team when little mistakes are made. You have to get yourself to a place where you are the kind of leader that can attract very talented, very driven, autonomous team members that can take ownership and build trust with them in such a way that they can not only fulfill your vision, but even enhance it, add to it, expand on it, right? And that leads right to number 10, magnetic, dynamic, resilient, and relentless in pursuit of your goals, but flexible in how you're gonna get there. And this is a great perspective, again, when we talk about the journey of success, because so many times on the journey of success where you start off, there's a lot of zigs and zags and ups and downs, and it doesn't necessarily go how you thought it was going to go, and things look really different than you thought they were going to be. And, you know, for some people, they can't stomach the roller coaster, and it is a roller coaster. But it's remembering that the highest calling of your life is demanding you to be brave, to be bold, and to become a visionary leader, which you are capable of, right? And it's like, you want the 1% life, you want the 1% business performance, you want the 1% outcomes, you have to be the 1% leader that can cultivate that kind of result. And it is hard. It takes a lot of self-reflection. It takes a lot of healing. It takes a lot of work on yourself on a daily basis to become the type of leader that can build and run a multiple 7- or 8-figure company, or even you know, someone that becomes a multi-million dollar earner. So this is about you getting to a place where you can live the vision, constantly convey it, strongly pull others into it, and show them how their dream fits inside of yours. And this is why I always say that when you're talking about how do you build a high performance autonomous team, how do you get companies functioning and performing without you being involved in the intimate details of the day-to-day, you need to make sure that there's role clarity, that there's a really strong compensation plan, and a great career progression path, because otherwise you don't have people that are thinking about working for you in the span of their career lifetime. Instead, it's a job. And when it's a job, you're never going to be able to rely on people in the way that you're craving to build the kind of organization that you want to build, right? So great organizations are built on great people. Great organizations are built on great people. And every leader with a stable 8-figure organization or multiple 7 organization that actually stays there and can produce a multiple 7-figure take-home income is going to tell you that they have great people. And to take it a step further, they have outstanding leadership within their teams. So the team is one of the areas where, you know, the vast majority of business owners have the most resistance, carry the most baggage, have the most healing to do. And I constantly point this out because if you don't build the winning team around you, and if you don't really focus on overcoming that hurdle, then you are the business and there's never going to be freedom for you. Right? So that next income level for you is really going to come down to your ability to expand your capacity so that you can duplicate and multiply getting results through others versus you being reliant strictly on yourself. And if you're the kind of leader that's constantly jumping in to fix it, constantly jumping in to make sure you get results because you don't trust the team or because you're scared. You're scared that the team isn't going to get the result, you know, then you're never going to get to the point where they can build up their own resilience to be able to see when they need to turn their performance around and make changes to get to the outcome that you and them desire. So a big part of this series is really encouraging you to let go of the resistance that you have and to understand that we all have fear. We all have overwhelm. We all go through significant highs and lows and setbacks and obstacles and good months and bad months and months where we make tons of money and months where we don't make as much money. Like, it's all par for the course. But the more that you understand that there are great people out there who will love to link arms with you in your vision, that will be committed, that will do the work, that will show up for you, that will be what catapults you to the next level. You have to believe that first. And then you have to step in becoming the multiple seven or the eight-figure leader who trusts and believes and can attract and retain people who will perform at an eight-figure level. And that's a great way to look at your business right now and say, if I look at my team today, if I look at my leadership today, we're performing at the level that our business is, that our business already is. What would it look like and what would it take for you as a leader and for your team to begin to perform at the level that you want to be or that you want to go to? And I guarantee if you pause this episode and you do that quick exercise, you could see changes that need to be made right away, right? So remember, you will be able to sustain peak performance and high levels of success when you surround yourself with the right people. And I'm not just talking about loyal people that you really like because they've been with you for forever and they don't cause you any problems. And they're really nice people and they go along with what you want to do. It's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about talent. I'm talking about talent that can drive your organization forward. I'm talking about diversity in skill set, perspective, and background that's going to allow you to have an advantage that you won't have relying on your strengths alone. The number of customers that you're going to have the capacity to serve to get to the level that you want to be at is going to be a nightmare if you don't have the right infrastructure and people around you. So in a lot of ways, that leap from seven to eight figures is always going to come down to the who, not how, and your leadership, right? You have to elevate your role into being the CEO that can build the winning team, enroll them in your vision, drive them to peak performance, and you have to look at your business like a business separate from you. So in this instance, there are five core divisions in a company, and you as the CEO need to say, how do I get the sales division, the marketing division, the operations division, service delivery division, and the finance division all working in conjunction, in unison to get the outcomes that you desire and to get your business operating like a well-oiled machine that is not an extension of you, that is separate from you, that ultimately can either be autonomous or one day could be exited, right? And this, when you build a business through that lens and with that perspective, you're going to build something that you love to run so much that you're not going to want to sell it. You're not going to want to not be a part of it. But the reason why so many people want to like run screaming and get out of their business like it's a burning building is that, you know, so many people are building something that it's just not enjoyable to run and they don't have the right support because they're not showing up as the leader that is going to command and demand that, right? So, you know, when you look at your organization, you can look across those five areas that I just mentioned: sales, marketing, operations, service delivery, and finance. And you can start by identifying, you know, what is the greatest need? What is the biggest opportunity? Where's the biggest risk? You know, what is the thing that if I did that right now, what's the one domino that would knock down a whole bunch of other dominoes in the organization and help you to really substantially move forward overall? Now, I know we talked about a lot today. I know we talked about a lot, but the truth is that this is the really hard work. doing more of the same, doing more of what you already know how to do, marketing harder, selling harder, doing more, taking more action, there is a law of diminishing returns. At a certain point, you're maxed out from the standpoint of action and implementation, and you have to elevate into leadership so that you can focus on multiplication and duplication. And I see so many people that quote unquote have teams, but they don't really have a organization where there's multiplication and duplication going on, right? And so that's what you need to think about is like, how have you been showing up for that leadership role? And where is that opportunity for you to really stand in your power and to be at the helm of innovation, disruption, category leadership, communication, standing out in the market so that you can fulfill the greatest vision that you have for your life and the unique mission that only you can fulfill. And that's why we're all here, is to fulfill that vision, that mission, that reason why we're here on the planet. And that's why I say, you know, moving from career to vocation is so powerful, because instead of building something that you want to run from, you're creating something that you love so much that you want to do for the rest of your life. And there is a way that you can build and get to a point where you're creating something that you love being a part of and you would never want to be separate from, versus how do I distance myself as fast as possible, as much as possible. So I hope you had a lot of takeaways from this session today. I hope that you took lots and lots of notes. Make sure you scroll down below this episode and opt in to grab the actual written overview of everything that we're talking about here. And make sure you tune in for the next episode, which is all about channeling your energy, and it's a doozy. You got to make sure you're there. Scroll down below, grab your copy of the Shift Guide. This is going to be a game changer for you. You can't get this anywhere else. And I'm looking forward to helping lead you through this process of elevating from 6 to 7 to 8 figures and beyond. I'll see you back here on the next episode. Thank you so much for listening to The Kelly Roach Show. If you enjoyed this episode, do me 2 solids. Subscribe to the show so you never miss an episode, and leave us a review so other people can find the life-changing content that we share here. We're on our way to 1, and we need your help getting there. Thanks so much for being a part of the community and for tuning into the show each and every week.